Bhagavad Gita. I know, just the book. Thank you. This verse is at random or it's in sequence? It just had to do with this morning's discussion? Okay. Bhagavad Gita. You like Bhagavad Gita?
It's hard to grasp, bro. Some things go off top of it, some things I can, bits and pieces I can grasp.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. And then what do you do with those bits and pieces? They go in, right?
I try to apply.
And then what happens?
Then some change happens within the life.
But it's
hard to keep up with it. But only when in the Sangha it's possible. But
No, not only. Because if that's the case, then you have to move in the center here. Now, the way it happens is you go back and you hear again and read again with that the noisemaker. I knew it would happen when you brought this little baby in. It's like, that's him? Okay. He's big smile. Disrupt everything. Cool. Okay. Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 4, text number 10. Maybe you already know this verse. Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. You know that one? Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha.
Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha.
Manmaya Mam Upashita.
Manmaya Mam Upashita.
Bahavo Gyana Tapasa. Puttamad Bhavam Agata. You guys are good. Let's do it again. Could you follow?
I'll try.
Okay, you be attentive. Okay. Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha.
Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha.
Manmaya Mam Upashita.
Manmaya Mam Upashita.
Bahavo Gyana Tapasa.
Bahavo Gyana Tapasa.
Puttamad Bhavam Agata.
Puttamad Bhavam Agata.
It's a big promise he's making. So let's hear what Krishna says. Being freed from attachment, fear, vita, raga, baya, and krodha, anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As described above, that's people who don't know Krishna. It's very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Some materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep this same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the supreme to be impersonal. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again, and so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all, being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation. They become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially, so he's going through the list again. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause. And some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of material consciousness. Here's the list again. Attachment to material life. 2. Fear of a spiritual personal identity. And 3. The conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and following the disciplines and regular principles of devotional life. The last stage of the devotional life is called bhava, or transcendental love of Godhead. Paragraph. Now Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami, Adaushadhata, Taksadu Sangha, etc., the stages of bhakti. Translation. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. That's the first two. There's seven more. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master. And under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. That's number three. Number four, by execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free of all material attachment. Yay. That's a long one. Attain steadiness in self-realization. Acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality, Godhead, Sri Krishna. this taste leads one further toward, forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. End quote. In the prema stage, which is spoken of in the verse by Krishna, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all, and here's the list again, freed from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. In this chapter, Krishna's directly revealing himself. There's knowledge of the soul, chapter 2, and knowledge of how to live one's life in that conception of the soul, which is easier said than done. And then where does one, if you're going to do that, it's karma yoga, you have to offer to the Supreme. And who's the Supreme? So Krishna's revealing knowledge about himself, because that's what the verse is saying. I'll read the verse again. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So there's the anchor, the attachment to these three things, that four times Prabhupada's gone over it in the purport: attachment, fear, and anger, or frustration. Then another element that comes again and again, what the mind does and what the intelligence does. The mind absorbed in Krishna, intelligence. So the intelligence, for the intelligence to be fixed in Krishna, you have to know who is Krishna. So then, have become purified by knowledge of me. So those are those, the anchor up, mind and intelligence fixed, mind and intelligence fixed, and knowledge of me. So the chapter 4 is this knowledge of Krishna. You know, janma karma chame devyam evam yobeti tatvataha, that verse. Those who know in truth tatvataha, the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, won't take birth again. It's a free ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. So to get that free ticket, there's a price, and the price is letting go of the attachments things. So let's go over them again. And part of the reason for, or perhaps the main reason for picking this verse, is from some discussion that took place during the Bhagavatam class this morning. We have some people coming in towards the end. Could everybody move up a bit? Could everybody move up a bit? Because otherwise we'll have people standing in the stairway, and that's not nice. Thank you. You don't want to be too close, huh? You want to sneak out when you get restless? Something like that. Okay. Okay. So let's go through the list again, number five times. So, for the... Some persons are too absorbed in the temporary to even give a hoot about what's beyond the temporary. Just too absorbed in the temporary. Just too absorbed. And so, raga. It's a nice word, raga. Raga is a word that's used in music. You know what the meaning is in music? Raga? I don't know too much. A little bit. I know some devotees that have taken music, classical music instruction in India. And one of the things that you're really strict teachers, they won't just, you know, start teaching you how to play different melodies in kirtan. They won't do that. You have to be very disciplined, and part of the discipline is learning ragas. And ragas have to do with certain combinations of notes during certain periods of the day enhance the mood of the day. And like you have to learn it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you know, most people drop out because they don't want to. They want to go on to the, you know. But so it's like our samsara tava nalarida loka. That's the morning raga. Those notes. And you can change the combination. But it's those notes in combination is a certain raga. And it's the morning tune. Or the morning raga. Anyway, that's one of the meanings of raga. And another meaning is attraction. Like later in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, raga dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. Living entities take birth in this material world and become deluded, moha, overcome by the dualities of raga and dvesha. So that means that there's attraction and repulsion. I like and I don't like. I have the attraction, the raga, to become the enjoyer. But there's a problem. Someone else is already the enjoyer. So I want to get rid of him. Prabhupada's example. There's the king, and the citizen says, gee, I'd like to be king for a while. But there's a problem. Somebody already is king. So I have to get rid of the king, depose the king. Then I can become... So raga, and that towards Krishna, when that raga of wanting the position of Krishna's being the enjoyer of everything, because he's the source of everything, and it's just his position, I covet that position myself. So that's the materialist. Raga, vita, one has to go beyond that raga position of being, you know, overly materialistic. Good news? You want some good news? We're not impersonalists, that's one good news. But there's a nice verse, and I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. If anybody knows where it is, please let me know after class. But Krishna speaking to Uddhava, a really good candidate for devotional service is someone who is neither too much attached nor too detached. That sounds like, you know, we're candidates, right? So, yeah.
Can we put the volume up?
Huh?
Can we put the volume up, please?
Volume? I can't do that.
I mean,
they can, okay. As long as it doesn't squeal. So, too much attached, that's just raga position, then, like Krishna's using the phrase here, one isn't going to be even interested in going to the spiritual marketplace and checking out what's out there. And then too much detached is this second one. Too much detached is, oh, it's too frustrating. And so make it zero. You know, involving myself in exchanges with people, it's like it's so much problem. So let's get rid of people. And make it impersonal. Ah, I like it. It's just bhaya. That's fear. This is how Prabhupada is describing this. Fear of hearing. Of course, the conception is going to bounce with the people that are too materialistic. But the people that are in this second category, Bhaya means fear, specifically the way Prabhupada is describing it here, is fear that, oh no, in the spiritual realm there's persons, oh no, make it impersonal. Ah. And the happiness of impersonalism has a term in Sanskrit, Brahmananda. Ananda means pleasure, and Brahmananda means the pleasure of impersonal Brahman. Prabhupada compares it like this. You bang your head against a wall, you get a big headache, bang, 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 and you stop. Ah. Brahmananda. Now, what's the positive happiness? That's another. So, those who have experienced the spiritual happiness of a personal exchange of love with the Supreme Person, that's compared to an ocean, distinct from the small amount of water and the hoof print of a calf that can easily cross over it and enter into the ocean of Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. That's what comes from, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who take up chanting properly. It's an ocean of Ananda. Ananda Ambudi. Ambudi means ocean. An ocean of Ananda compared to Brahmananda. So, but that this fear of material existence isn't the same as the next one, which is frustration. Frustration. This the explanation here, impersonalism and voidism is born of frustration. It's not so popular these days, but there was a period of time, other than during my college days, that existentialism became very popular. It was popular during my college days. And I met some people, well-educated, highly learned, frustrated. And so existentialism wasn't exactly attractive, but it was like, that's reality. Reality is nothing matters. What matters? Nothing. And there's only one thing I can say, you know, as far as truth. I exist. That's existentialism. Remember in high school, it was studying French, we had to read Camus' existential book, The Stranger, in French, in high school. You know, and kids were saying, yeah, that. But the main character, it was like nothing matters. So he went to a beach and he decided, you know, it didn't matter anyways, but something irritated him, so he killed somebody. Because nothing matters. Then he got caught and he got put in jail. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. Nothing's important. Sartre went mad. He killed himself. Drove his car off a cliff. Because nothing matters. Nothing matters. So that's the third one. Raga, Maya, Krodha. Krodha means anger or frustration. Frustration with existence. So let me go out of existence. But you can't go out of existence because the soul is eternal. You can try, but that's, you know, doesn't work. Material life doesn't work. Going out of existence doesn't work. What's left? What's a person that wants to be happy to do? And taking shelter of impersonalism, that looks attractive. Because then I can enter into this, the water in the hoofprint of a calf at least. Stop banging my head against the wall. Frustration. Now our discussion this morning was a little different. It had to do with when we have relationships, as important as they are to us, there is sometimes fear that we are going to lose that relationship. And so there's hesitation to enter into the relationship because there's a fear we may become bereft. So we hesitate sometimes. Or we enter into relationships and then just live with the fear. And we don't like living with fear. So that happens. And it was, so I was asked to expand on that a little bit this evening also. The solution, there's a spiritual solution to everything, including that one. And the spiritual solution is devotional service. And devotional service is more than just, you know, a phrase. It's a condition of heart. It's where the heart consciousness is connected to the supreme happiness, Krishna. I can't help it. One of the messages I'm going to share something about visiting China again. In visiting China, The Chinese culture relates to, they didn't use the language of happiness within that's in Bhagavad Gita, but a contentment by living a life of detachment and knowledge. You know, and higher character of respecting others and so forth. Non-violence, knowledge, inner happiness, inner contentment. Can something be done with that? They can just go in the yard and be happy instead of like this. That small body makes so much noise. It's just a special power of babies to make amplification systems inside. So, it's one of the ways to help present Krishna consciousness is to speak in terms that the Chinese people of accustomed to Chinese culture understand. This, the greatest happiness or inner happiness, inner contentment, the highest joy in, from within. And then the system of yoga, which they are also increasingly now familiar with, and it's very popular, very popular. They just think hatha yoga. Yoga means hatha yoga. And then so introduce yoga means something more than that, and so forth. So what Prabhupada is presenting in the purport very clearly is the spiritual form of the Supreme Person. And that's the place of taking shelter. And when that shelter, that connect, so that's this last part, those who become purified by knowledge of me. And it's hard for knowledge of Krishna's transcendental position to go in, because these other things are obstacles. Raga, bhaya, and krodha doesn't go in. Too much attached, too much frustrated, and fearful of personal existence. So getting beyond that and hearing the attractiveness of the all-attractive. And even if, you know, that's not going in so well, just the chanting of the holy name, that's universal, because there he is, Krishna in his fullness, with nija sarva shaktis, with all of his spiritual potency. But to enter into the fullness of the holy name, this other understanding is needed. According to Haridas Thakur, without proper sambandhagyan, you can't experience the fullness of the holy name. So both are needed, the holy name and Bhagavad Gita. And here we're hearing, so these, say it again. Over, going beyond, pulling up the anchor on undue attachment to the temporary, fearfulness of a personal identity after this one, and frustration with so many ideas out there, and forget it. So bring the mind to Krishna, the intelligence, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who studies this sacred conversation is worshipping me with their intelligence, and that means the intelligence is becoming purified, it's becoming sanctified, it's becoming spiritualized, becoming purified by knowledge of me, they attain to me. Many, he says. So back to this part of the discussion this morning, and then it'll stop. See if there's, this lively group has some discussion. Fear of loss of relationships. I just got a letter. Just after class, I got a letter this morning. Someone was saying the same thing. You know, they've been chanting for 12 years. A mother that has two children, and of course a husband, and you know, she's too attached. She's afraid. She lives in fear. What happens if something happens? Because something always happens. So what happens if it goes in a bad direction? Then I'm fearful of that loss. So how do I get on the other side of that fear of that loss? And so it's not like establish a relationship and reluctance to establish relationship. The relationships are already there and fearful of losing them. Again, earlier, during this time that I was in Detroit, another person expressed the same thing. It's quite a similar thing. fear of my mother. I know my mother's going to die, but I just live in this condition of fear. So knowledge is stolen. You know that the soul is eternal. That's exactly what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. No cause for lamentation. Because the person doesn't die. The person is the soul. But if one thinks in terms of the bodily conception, there's absorption in that, fear arises. Because then how do you have steady intelligence? Because you want this configuration, but it's not going to stay. It's going to change. So we act according to just like this little child that came in. You know, everyone's attention goes to the little child. It's natural. So, and then when the little child is not a little child anymore, you don't pay attention to the same way. But then there's some other kind of relationship, and then some other kind of relationship, and but there's the relationship to the person, not to the covering. And appropriate for the circumstance, the age, and the whatever else, the relationship goes to the soul. And then ultimately, the purpose of that is for pleasing Krishna. Not our happiness, but for pleasing Krishna. That's the solution. That's the solution. The purpose behind the satisfaction of a relationship is that Krishna will be pleased. And when the circumstances of our service change, different set of souls come and go. Like, there's 5 or 6 different examples of this. Even Hiranyakashipu gives 3 of them. When Hiranyaksha has been killed, he's doing the funeral speech. So there's example. One is the churning of the waves, uproot the seaweed at the bottom of the ocean, and the churning of the waves bring the seaweed together, and the same waves separate. So you don't lament with the seaweed got separated. Or another example that's given in the Bhagavatam is there may be a well, and in the well the ladies come in the morning in India. It's the common sight, and they bring their vessels for carrying the water, and they have their conversation with one another, and they gather the water, and then they go back to their home. So there's the gathering together and then the separating. Persons come together and in some eating place, and they see, Hari Bol Prabhu, and then they go separately. So it's the nature of the movement of time. Time brings things together. Time separates things. Time moves the waves. Time moves matter, but time doesn't move the soul. So the relationship from soul to soul is through the connection with the Supreme Soul. It doesn't make us feeling less or dull. Feelings for one another, feelings that are there in relationships. I mentioned this morning. Prabhupada said it's completely natural. Not only natural, it has to be. You're not alive. You're a stone if there's no affection. But the operative, he says, the essential principle is to where is that affection directed? What is the objective, is his word, of that affection? And the objective should be Krishna's pleased. That's the solution. Now, these feelings of fear of loss, it exists in the spiritual world. There's this nice description of our acharyas that when we often hear about the feelings of separation of the gopis. Feelings of separation of the gopis isn't just when they're separated from Krishna. Even when they're with Krishna, they're feeling it's only in a short while Krishna's going to be gone. So that feeling of anticipating separation makes the meeting even more intense. That's the nature of transcendental feeling. But it's not a loss. It's an attachment to Krishna, attachment to the eternal. And when that's there, it's ecstatic. Although for us, that's not ecstatic, that's painful. But that's because we're equating it with our experience, which is painful. So how to get beyond the painful notion is enter into the spiritual reality. That's the message here. And it starts, well, it starts with understanding the soul different from the body, but for relationships with Krishna at the center, it's who is Krishna. He's never going to be gone. He doesn't come into being, and he's always there, and our relationship with him is always there. It's accessible. It's accessible minimally. Just call his name. And there's no delay. He's there. As soon as you utter his syllables of his name, he's there in fullness. We don't have that realization, but he's there anyway. And same with Bhagavad Gita. We hear the message of Bhagavad Gita. He's there. It's we may not have that realization, but he's there. I'll just share this one last thing and see if there's discussion. Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, morning Bhagavatam class from the early verses of Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita, saying in one morning class, some people say, oh, I'll never be fortunate like Arjuna, because Arjuna was able to hear directly from Krishna, but I'll never be so fortunate as Arjuna. Boo-hoo. And Prabhupada would say then, no, because Krishna says, surrender unto me. And the person who's speaking on behalf of Krishna, that Krishna says, surrender unto him, that's Krishna speaking. Then he said it again, then he said it again, then he went into a trance, right in front of us on Vyasasan. I can't do that for you. So absorbed that as he was speaking, it was Krishna speaking. Like our, several passages in scripture where Ramananda Roy is speaking, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, and Ramananda Roy says, I'm just a puppet, and you're making me speak. I'm saying things I never understood before. But it's your, so it's your speaking, but here we go, because you want me to be your puppet, so I'll be your puppet. There's other examples. So it's whether it's Ramananda Roy or Prabhupada and the Vyasasan in Mayapur or us just speaking, that the reality is we're acting as instruments of Krishna and Krishna's message. So we may be imperfect and pretty dull instruments, but that's the principle, and that's the power, the potency is Krishna's words and Krishna's speaking. It's Krishna's message, and we're just instruments broadcasting the message. Instruments, just like this little amplifier over here. Or you have a recording, and then Prabhupada would give this example. You have the recording. Over there, there's a tape player. And so later, my students will hear the class. And it's me speaking. Although I'm not there in the room, because they're playing back the recording. But it's me speaking. It's just the instrument is facilitating Prabhupada speaking. And we're facilitating Krishna speaking. What power do we have? We're little entities, insignificant little entities. As much as we can be transparent in consciousness, then less filtered and more full will be the impact. of that sound vibration of the holy name or the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're just practicing becoming transparent and broadcasters of or instruments of the message. Take shelter of Krishna with becoming purified by knowledge of Him, mind absorbed in Him, intelligence fixed in Him from that purification mentioned, and pull the anchor. Okay, so any...
How to pull the anchor when there is a fear in getting the relationship?
In getting?
Like, for example, in the material world, relationship you called as bandha, right? Bandha means relationship, but it has also another meaning called prison in Sanskrit. So, because for example, association develops into attachment. Attachment develops into entanglement in the material world.
Mm-hmm.
But, so for example...
You're right, by the way.
Thank you, bro. But the fear only comes because we can't able to make justice to the relationship.
Well, fear comes because we're in material conception of life. And the response, we discussed it this morning. Kapila Dev, speaking to Devahuti, says, anyone who's learned knows what you just said. That is, attachment to temporary brings misery. However, that same attachment to sadhu brings liberation, freedom. Because he's advocating sadhu sangha as a means to enter into the house of bhakti, or the realm of bhakti. And bhakti is what we're speaking about, where the attachment is to the eternal, is attachment to Krishna. So that's more powerful than fear. Fear is darkness, and light is more powerful than darkness. You can overcome darkness by light. You can overcome fear by bhakti. Factual connection with Krishna. And that is facilitated by, as you said, we first spoke about Bhagavad Gita, through the association here. But the association you can carry with you through sound and carry in your heart. Just don't forget. Keep the light on. Yes?
Yeah, I was actually going to say something about that too, because like, if everyone you meet, if you had fear of meeting them, that means you like fear yourself, because everyone's just like, if you have that conscious connection with someone else, that means you're like Tetris connected, and that means they're a reflection of you. And really, everyone we meet...
Everyone's a reflection of you. That's your idea?
Yeah, everyone is a reflection of you. Yeah.
No.
Because we're all one, we all come from one source.
Yes, that's okay, but we're individual.
We're individual, we see from different screens, but we all come from one source.
We come from one source, and that one source is a person. And that which comes from a person is a person. I'm an individual. I'm disagreeing with your view.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just because your view is an impersonal view, and this is a personal view. And there's a distinction between impersonal and personal. Exactly. You weren't here for the purport. But the purport, Prabhupada says, there are many people that say, they use the metaphor of the individuality that we know here is like a bubble, and then the bubble bursts and emerges into the ocean and become one with the ocean. We lose our individuality and become one with the ocean.
Right.
That's born of, according to Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, and I like his words better than yours. That's an impersonal conception born of frustration, and there is such a thing. It's not that such a thing doesn't exist. There's such a thing as an ocean, or such a thing as the this spiritual oneness. And it's also in that vastness of spiritual oneness, there's spiritual planets with spiritual personalities that are eternal. And that's me and you and every living entity. We have tiny spark-like qualities of the big fire, or tiny drop-like qualities of the big ocean. And so we're all personal. So, yes, the bodily distinction is going to be taken from us, and then what's left when that psychophysical nature is discombobulated, when it's all dismantled, what's left? There's the soul that doesn't change, and so one idea is the soul merges with the totality of souls, or this big Brahman, this big oneness thing. That's a conception. The Bhagavad Gita conception, read it carefully, read the purports carefully also, and there's another, Swaropena-vyavastati. Beyond this stage of oneness is the stage of unlimited spiritual variegatedness, and that's our home. That's who, it's where we have come from, this Brahman that you're speaking about, or this oneness that you're speaking about, comes from a source. That source is the Supreme Person. That's the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sorry to just cut you off like that.
Oh no, you're fine.
Okay.
No, that's okay.
But
that's not even what my main point was. But
well, I just had to jump on it. Sorry.
No, you're good. But I was gonna say. But I also know that, like, when you meet people and, like, you synchronize and you synchronicity like that, they become building blocks and show you who you really are. And sometimes you're supposed to lose those people because, like, that's just what's supposed to happen.
Well, time brings, that's fine. Time brings things together and separates things. And that's not going to stop.
Right.
Whether we're attached or not attached. It's just the nature of time. It moves the energy. Anyone else? Yes.
I have two questions. First one is that near the beginning of the class, you were speaking about impersonalism and how the desire is to just get rid of all people. The relationships are frustrating. So I was just thinking that, to be honest, I struggle to be surrounded by people for too long. and so I was wondering if that's because I don't know if it's like some people are just like that. That could be nature.
Yeah.
Some people prefer
I don't think that's a problem. And it's in and of itself is not a problem. Some people are private. I know some people that are really private. I don't even think they're too private because they're very personal, but they're very private. That's fine. It's a nature. And those relationships they do have, they're very deep, very profound, very significant.
Okay. The other question I'm going to try to explain something I'm experiencing and then try to ask a question. And it kind of connects the austerity of speech to relationships.
Okay, I'm ready.
So the austerity of speech is a very austerity for me personally.
Really? I never would have guessed it. Your mother's laughing.
And this is where it connects with that. One thing you mentioned this morning was that to overcome fear within the relationships is to create a soul-to-soul connection and put Krishna in the center.
Yes.
So I was thinking that with the with specific relationships I have, particularly like people I've known for a very long time, like my mother or my brother, I actually struggle a lot to bring Krishna in the center. And I also find that this austerity of speech in these relationships becomes like very out of control. It's very austere for me to control my speech within these when I'm interacting with these relationships. And
people. They're people, not relationships.
Go ahead.
And
you're interacting with people, not the relationship.
So
if we're adjusting.
When I'm interacting with the people. And so it becomes frustrating because of that. And I guess how can I improve and what can I do about that? Does it make sense?
Well, here's a bhakti principle. It's right from the discussion that we were having in that chapter from the Bhagavatam. You take it to Krishna. There's this, whatever it is, say, we were speaking about emotion. You know, it's struggle. You take that to Krishna. That's what a divine, part of the divine nature, or devotee nature. It's part of bhakti. It's not like, you know, you're making some demand on Krishna to hurry up and fix this problem. But it's a bhakti principle. Devahuti brought her concern to Kapila Dev. You take that, you know, we're not yet pure. We go to the Supreme Pure for purification. It's quite simple principle. And then with that inclination of heart, because that opens the heart to receive, then you chant and or read or hear. And something, you know, the message that I haven't been hearing starts to go in because the heart is open. The very, even just for starters, just being clear with what's going on. Let's just say, you know, from devotional service and chanting and reading Bhagavad Gita and everything else, there are conditions of heart that I have not been aware of. And as I'm practicing devotional service, I've had two conversations during my stay here where that's exactly what was the nature of the, you know, something else for somebody and something else for somebody, but in the course of devotional service, something that's been operating in my life for a long time, I'm now becoming more aware of it. And then saying, what do I do? So you go to the scripture, you go to the name, you go to your deity, you go to Krishna, you go to the Supreme Pure for purification. Not like manasa deha geha yoki chumora. That's the nature of taking shelter, is all these things are now yours, including this struggle that I'm having. Not like I do nothing now, just sit back and fix it, please. But you're not alone. And you're having the connection with Krishna, in addition to the best of the intelligence that you have, of now I'm aware of what the difficulty is, and I'm aware of what the goal is, and I have some idea how to get there, but I'm struggling. Go over here with somebody that's like, has difficulty being attentive when chanting. Take that to Krishna. Of service, not the mood of the order supplier. I need, please give me spiritual strength. intelligence needed. And stay with it, in other words, a cultivation of that. And there's strength beyond your strength, there's intelligence beyond your current intelligence, and the ability to go forward, even if it's incremental. Your relationship with Krishna has become stronger. Hi Krishna.
My problem is opposite of this. I'm social and I don't have conflict with anybody, but I cannot go deep into anything, like any relationship or anything. After a certain point, I cannot go deep into it. And my problem is, I want to go deeper. But I'm stuck at a certain level in anything which I do or a relationship. How do I go beyond? How do I go deeper?
Similar? Not same, but similar? As in your question this morning? No. Different.
Different,
okay. Since you've been sitting with this for some time, do you have any insight as to why? Is it fear? Is it?
Yeah. Sometimes in relationships, sometimes it's fear,
Fear of not being accepted, or fear of loss, or fear of... I don't even need an answer right now.
Okay.
It is, where is this coming from? It's not like you have to have the answer, but asking the question helps the being stuck dynamic. Because so it's both where you want to go. It's similar to this verse here. It's, what's the anchor? I'm rowing, but I'm not getting anywhere. I guess I got the anchor in. So, where's the anchor? And the other is not just trust in Krishna. So, if there's a goal, I wish, let it be for Krishna's pleasure, not just so I feel better about myself, and because it's pleasing to Krishna. And then I'm going to have to rely on Krishna for Krishna's help, because I'm stuck. Just like your child. Your child will turn to mommy and daddy because when something happens, they need some help. When there's affection and love, then that's going to happen naturally. So turn to Krishna with, I'm stuck. I don't want to go further. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, among many things, that to go to the next stage of bhakti ladder requires recognizing where we are and acting from our position where we are and hankering to go further. So we need to know what further looks like. We don't need to jump, we just need to go further. So perhaps some out of the persons with whom you have relationships, someone who you particularly feel less fear or more trust or more confidence or more whatever, and say primary relationships, persons who are guiding you or persons who are a dear friend or peer or superior, kind of relationships and take one or two and go more deeply, specifically. So if there's a breakthrough with one or two, then you got the formula down, or you have, there's a little path to move on. Then it becomes easier in principle. So start with primary relationships. Those are three things. Yes.
When you're talking about the pulling the anchor,
yeah,
and the attachment or fear, and is the solution is to bring the mind to Krishna.
Yes.
But that's not like an overnight
process. Of course, it's cultivation.
And also, like, sometimes we might be in the circles of whatever it might be, fear or anger, and we don't even know that we do.
That's correct.
That's right.
The darkness is so dark, we don't even know who we are, what we're doing, what's going on.
So you
keep going towards the light, and then it becomes, the light comes on. You can start to see things that otherwise you can't see or could not see. It's gradual, as you said. It's gradual. It's fine. Keep going. Where you were 3 years ago and where you are today, it's vast. And keep going. Have a little celebration, and then keep going. Have some goals that are not unrealistic, and because as Vaisheshika Prabhu has repeats over and over, goals are powerful. So have some tangible, doable, realistic goals, and then stay with them. Just like this topic we were discussing in the car on the way over of a gratitude journal. If it's good, do it regularly. Anything is good, do it regularly. That's abhyasa. That's a rule of Patanjali. You do it regularly, and you do it for some time, and you have some faith in the objective. It's going to take you to a good place. Those are three elements of abhyasa, or cultivation, or practice. Yes?
Similar to Sakisharma Mataji question.
Okay.
She was having difficulty going deeper in the relationship. In my case, like, I have gone deeper in a relationship and I got
burnt.
So right now this point where I am right now is I have this fear of going closer in a relationship.
Two things. The soul is different than the mind, and that the burned is not the soul, it's the mind. Make a distinction between who you are and who the mind is. Because many of us, conditioned souls, are ruled by the mind. It's like chief. And the mind says, something, and that's it. Because the mind rules. So the spiritual conception is not who we are. So then, second is connect the soul to the Supreme. Same as this principle of the soul-to-soul relationship with Krishna at the center. Do it differently. With Krishna at the center. Anything else? Something further? Last?
A different
topic.
Clarification from the purple. Prabhupada is explaining the impersonal conception where the bubbles go and emerge in the ocean. And he says specifically that is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. Is it implying that at any point the soul can lose the individuality?
No, that's not implying that at all.
Because my understanding is that's not possible.
It's not possible. But it's a conception that the Brahman conception is a real conception. And it's attainable. That one can enter into the Brahman. What happens when, in principle, individuality is suspended? It's not individuality is lost. It's like living entities packed up. Hridayananda Maharaj gives this joke about, you know, used to be in colleges, they would see how many people they could fit into a telephone booth. Or going over the goal line and they're trying to, you know, give the ball to the fullback and they get all these bodies all packed up together. So it's like that. It's like this joke. So the Brahmajyoti is just teeming with living entities. That's what it is. That's the jyoti. Living entities. And they're so packed up, it's individuality isn't being expressed. But individuality is there, and when Aruya Krishna Param Padam Tada Patantyato, when the desire for relationship and individual expression returns, one comes back. It's a temporary. The scrimmage line at the goal line, when the whistle blows, they can go back into the huddle. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.